The first step. Let my word become alive within you, for this alone can bring you that benefit which you need, enabling your spirit to ascend to the luminous heights of the eternal gardens of God. It is of no avail to know of the word, and if you could recite my entire message, sentence by sentence, from memory, in order to teach yourselves and your fellow men, it is of no avail unless you act accordingly. Think in the sense of my word, and adjust your whole earth life to it as a matter of course, as something which has become an integral part of your being, which cannot be separated from you. Only then will you be able to draw from my message the eternal values it holds for you. By their works ye shall know them. This saying of Christ is primarily intended for all the readers of my message. By their works means by their activity, that is, by their thinking and deeds in their daily life on earth. Your deeds also include your speech, not only your actions, for speaking is action, the effect of which you have hitherto underestimated. Even your thoughts are included here. Men are in the habit of saying that thoughts are free. By this they wish to imply that they cannot be held accountable on earth for their thoughts, because these are on a level which is inaccessible to human hands. Therefore they often play with thoughts in the most careless way, or better expressed, they play in thoughts. Unfortunately, often a very dangerous game, in the light-hearted illusion that they can emerge from it unharmed. But here they err, for thoughts too belong to the world of gross matter, and must in all circumstances also be redeemed in it, before a spirit becomes capable of swinging itself freely upwards, once it has severed the connection with its earthly body. Therefore seek at all times to swing, even with your thoughts, in the sense of my message, in such a way that you desire only what is noble, and do not lower yourselves because you imagine that nobody can see or hear it. Thoughts, words, and the visible deed all belong to the realm of gross matter in this creation. Thoughts operate in the world of fine gross matter, words in the world of medium gross matter, and visible actions take form in the world of coarsest, that is, densest gross matter. These three kinds of your activity are gross material, but the forms of all three are closely connected with each other. Their effects are interwoven. What that implies for you, how incisive and decisive its effect often is in the course of your existence, you cannot estimate all at once. It means nothing else than that also a thought, automatically working on according to its nature, can strengthen a homogeneous type in the world of medium matter, thereby producing more powerful forms. Likewise, then, deducing from this, it again continues to work on within this intensification, and arises in a visible, active form in the coarsest world of matter, without you yourselves seeming to be directly concerned with it. It comes as a shock to know this, when one realizes how superficial and careless these earthmen are in their thinking. Thus, without knowing it, you participate in many a deed perpetrated by one or other of your fellow men, simply because he has received the intensification in the way I have just explained to you. It became capable of driving him to the crudest perpetration of something that had hitherto slumbered within him, with which previously he had always merely toyed in his thoughts. Thus many a person on earth very often looks with disapproval upon some action of one of his fellow men, angrily repudiating and condemning it. And yet he is partially responsible for it before the eternal laws of God. In this, someone who is a complete stranger to him may be involved, and it may concern a deed which he himself would never have committed in the realm of coarsest matter. Think yourselves deeply into such happenings for once, and you will then all the more understand why I call to you in my message, keep the hearth of your thoughts pure. By so doing, you will bring peace and be happy. But when you have become sufficiently strong in this respect, through your own purification, far fewer crimes than hitherto, in which many have been unknowingly implicated, will be committed on earth. The time and place of such deeds as you may become implicated in are of no importance here, even if they occurred at the opposite end of the earth to where you live, in places where you have never set foot, of whose existence you have no knowledge whatever. Through your toying with thoughts, intensifications will strike wherever they discover homogeneous types, independent of distances, nation, and country. Thus, in the course of time, thoughts of hate and envy may thrust themselves upon individuals, groups, or whole nations, wherever they find homogeneity, impelling them to actions expressed in forms entirely different from those that first arose through your toying with thoughts. The final result may then manifest according to the inner state of the perpetrator at the time of the deed. Thus you may have contributed to the perpetration of such horrible deeds as you yourselves have never really contemplated, and yet you are connected with them, and a part of the reaction must burden your spirit, must hang on it like a weight when it severs itself from the body. But on the other hand, you can also contribute even more powerfully to the peace and happiness of humanity, and through pure, joyful thinking, can have a share in works that develop through total strangers. From this the blessing also naturally flows back to you, and you do not realize why. If you could but once see how the immutable justice of God's all-holy will is always fulfilled in the self-acting laws of this creation, for every single thought you harbor, you would strive with all your might to attain purity in your thinking. Only then will you have become such human beings as the Creator in His work will mercifully guide to the knowledge that bestows eternal life upon them, allowing them to become helpers in creation, worthy to receive the high blessings destined for the human spirit, so that these may be joyfully and gratefully transformed and passed on to those creatures who are only able to absorb them through such a transformation by man, and who today, through the decline of the human spirit, remain wantonly cut off from them, after it had already been possible for them to come into existence in times of a better and more purely swinging humanity. With this, however, you will have made only one sentence from my message glow with vitality for yourselves on earth. For you it is the most difficult one, which will then make all the rest much easier, whose fulfillment must already let miracle upon miracle arise before you, in earthly visible and tangible form. When you have conquered yourselves in this, you will be confronted on your path with yet another danger, resulting from the distortion of human thinking. You will recognize in it a power which you will wish to press all too readily into quite definite forms, so that it may serve this or that special purpose, made up of selfish desires. Already today I wish to warn you against this, for the danger can engulf you. You would perish in it, even after you have set out on the right path. Beware of a desperate struggle to enforce this purity of thoughts, for in so doing you would already press them into definite channels, and your effort would become an illusion, would always be only artificially enforced, and could never have the great effect that it should have. Your efforts would bring harm rather than benefit, because they lack the genuineness of the free intuition. Again, it would be a product of your intellectual volition, but never the work of your spirit. Against this I warn you. Remember my word of the message, which tells you that all true greatness can lie only in simplicity, since true greatness is simple. You may be better able to understand that simplicity which I mean here, if for the time being you use instead the human earthly concept of being unassuming. This perhaps comes nearer to your comprehension, and you will hit upon the true meaning. You cannot give the purity that I mean to your thoughts through your thought volition, but the pure volition, unassuming and boundless, must well up within you from your intuitive perception, not compressed into a word which can only give rise to a limited concept. That must not be, but an all-embracing urge for the good, able to envelop your thoughts as they arise, and to permeate them, even before they take form, is the right thing which you need. It is not difficult, indeed much easier than the other attempts, once you become unassuming, whereby intellectual conceit about your own abilities and your own power cannot arise. Empty yourselves of thoughts, and set free within you the urge for what is noble and good. Then you will have that foundation for thinking which comes from the volition of your spirit, and whatever arises from that you can then safely leave to the work of your intellect to carry out in the realm of densest gross matter. Nothing wrong can ever develop. Cast off all the torment caused by thoughts, and trust instead in your spirit, which will surely find the right way if you yourselves do not wall it up. Become free in spirit, which means nothing else than let the spirit within you have its way. Then it simply cannot do other than journey towards the height, for its very nature draws it upwards with all certainty. Hitherto you have restrained it, so that it could no longer unfold. Thereby you had restricted its flight, or bound its wings. The foundation for the upbuilding of a new humanity, which you cannot and must not evade, rests in the one sentence: keep the hearth of your thoughts pure. And it is with this that man must begin. That is his first task, which will make him what he must become: an example to all who strive for light and truth, who wish to serve the Creator gratefully through the nature of their whole being. He who fulfills this needs no further directions. He is as he should be, and will thus receive the full measure of help that awaits him in creation, and leads him upwards without interruption.